My name is Darren Hupke, and this is Pixels and Polygons. Welcome to the show. New week, one day late. I'm editing this episode together, like on the spot on Saturday evening, watching the NBA All-Star Saturday night and realizing I should have had this out yesterday. And yeah, my apologies, everyone. This is going to be a, I don't know, it's not going to be anything. It's going to be an episode you're listening to a day later than normal, and the next episode will still come out on time on Friday. I just had a lapse day, so it's okay. Everything's good. Nothing else really new going on here. I've got still the Patreon page, patreon.com/Darren Hupke. You can sign up for the postcard of the month, little retro reviews, a single postcard review of a different game each month. That money on that paid tier goes to help support me in paying for things like printing costs for like rewards and stuff that I do, printing of the actual postcards themselves, like the web hosting for like the site and for the podcast and all that stuff. So it's just support that helps me do all the things that I've been doing. You can find my original writing and everything there for free as well, so you don't have to pay for anything if you want to just read the writing and the articles and stuff that I share and post. Pixelsandpolygons.net, the books have all been restocked. I've got all four volumes of 32-bit library up on the site, and two issues of the Retro Game Zine series, the new series. 3 and 4 were successfully funded and are done, just waiting on the printing to kind of get finished and sent back to me and get those sent out to folks. And then those will be also available on the website. And yeah, working away on 32-bit library, like the next volume, which will be a greatest hits focused one. I've mentioned that. And yeah, I think that's everything. It's the kind of the same biz. I don't have any updates on the beat 'em up book. Still, I need to obviously figure that whole thing out. I think I'm just going to stop talking about it outright because it doesn't seem like it's going to happen anytime soon. Not for any good or bad reasons. It's just, it is what it is. And yeah, I was hoping there was going to maybe be a quick resolve or a turnaround or something I can kind of just jump right back into, but maybe not. Otherwise, that's all I've got for you this week. I've been reading a lot of the boss fight books recently. If you've not heard of the publisher Boss Fight Books, they have a whole series of books written by different authors on different games. I mean, I guess they initially started with each book was kind of like the history and a dissection and a look into a specific game, but they've started to kind of do some other things, and their last open submission period they had for new books might kind of change their formula. But as it stands now, there's into the high 30s of a count of books that you can find on probably a bunch of games you've enjoyed or had interest in, but they're really good. They're, you know, I don't know, all around roughly around 200 pages or so. A nice little size, like compact, and definitely you can read them just in a couple of days if you're not like a super reader or anything. Like I read them on my lunch break at work and everything, and I've read their EverQuest book I just finished, Parappa the Rapper, NBA Jam, GoldenEye. I'm currently reading through one on Untitled Goose Game, but I've just thoroughly enjoyed them. They're like really well done and super interesting. Obviously, each author has kind of a different voice and a different writing style, but they've all really just been like super informative and kept me engaged. So this is just a recommendation for something that's not even mine, but Boss Fight Books. Go check out their site and go check out their catalog and see if there's anything that catches your eye. I bet you won't be disappointed. So give it a shot. otherwise, yeah, keep playing games, keep having fun, keep listening to the show. Maybe rate and review the show on your podcast platform of choice that you're listening to. Literally, it's probably just a little button or little slider or little thing you click just right below whatever it is you're looking at on your screen here. And it would help me out greatly, and I would appreciate that very much if you enjoy the show to consider doing that. So that's all I got. Enjoy the episode this week. We've got Goo and McKenna from Flashback 64 back again talking about our favorite genre and the games that got us into that. So really fun discussion we had a few weeks back, and able to bring that conversation to y'all now. So enjoy that, and I will see you all next week. Bye. All right. Welcome back to another episode of Pixels and Polygons. I've got friends of the show, Goo and McKenna from Flashback 64. Thank you all for coming back to the show again. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Once again, glad to be here.
Yeah, we are immediately recording this right after their previous episode. Immediately going to break that fourth wall in case I say something that directly references it. But it's happening.
It's a very cool production, actually. I love the format of the show and everything.
Oh yeah, I mean, my goal was just for it to be simple, and being simple would mean it would be easy, and then being easy means I would be able to keep up with it and not like, it's too much work, I'm going to forget it this week, or then let it just run into the ground.
No, yeah, it's fun. I wonder if people like listening to hearing people talk about podcasts on podcasts, but
yeah,
it's cool.
Well, that's my next podcast. I'm just going to talk about the different gaming podcasts, and then we're going to discuss our favorite episodes of our favorite gaming podcasts.
Oh, that's good. That's
with
good.
Podcast yeah. Hosts. All right, well, y'all, like as we mentioned, the Flashback 64 crew, the links will be in like the show notes, so you can check out their you can check out their podcast, as well as like the link to their Patreon will be down there, and stuff that they are doing. So follow along. It's always fun. I've been on their show in the past, and we have one on the calendar as well.
Next month we're recording. Oh yeah, that's gonna be great.
That one I'm
some wrestling.
Some wrestling. I had that game. Yeah. Well, I guess we're gonna leave that for your show.
Yeah, a little tease. Yeah.
But let's get into it then. Let's do an icebreaker here. I'm going to hit you with a this or that.
I'm afraid of these.
Actually, this is going to be a pre-icebreaker, because instead of us catching up, you know, we did a brief catch up. We'll do a couple of this or that's, and then I'll give you an icebreaker.
Okay. I get nervous about these.
I'm going to try and keep it themed to y'all. Would you rather have an open world or a linear path?
Oh, it has to be either or.
This or that.
Really?
Yes.
It depends on the type of game.
Lately, I've been jiving with open world.
Okay.
I like exploring, and I like freedom to explore.
Yeah. I'm going to say linear, I think. But
lock it in. Final answer.
No, yeah, I'm just going to commit to open world, because I think and also depending on the, like, because what was an open world? There was open world games in our minds that by today's standards aren't open world. So I feel like it could be broad enough, but sure, open world. Let's go with that.
Sure. Yeah, I like a good open world game. And I think I think people talk about like a fatigue of open world games at this point. I don't know that I've ever had a fatigue for it, unless you're just playing like open world game after open world game. Like if you were going to like open up a big map and see all these collectibles and like, you know, need to find the specific locations, and you're playing them and treating them as like the same type of game. Like I think you could maybe get a little burned out if you only played that like one after another. But if you mix up different types of games, big game, small game, you know, like a linear game and then an open world game, like they could be tons of fun. I think I personally also lean towards open world as well. Like I do love, like, yes, I can go here to continue the story, but what's in that shack over there on that mountain, and what's like behind it in that cave, and wait, what's in this river over here, and wait, there's a fishing mini game. Cool, let me do this for 10 hours and like get a bunch of extra money so that I don't have to use this later. And like, yeah, then it turns out I forgot all about the main quest and I've just been sucked in. And that's like fun when it doesn't feel like a grind, or like you've just gotten through doing that exact same thing in like Horizon Zero Dawn and Assassin's Creed and then Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. Like, you know, if you do it too much, I can understand the fatigue, but I like it. You know, if I feel just right, I like that style and that design, and that's just very engaging to just kind of put me into that world.
Yeah, you like all sorts of, like, most of the games you play, I feel like, are sort of like go around, do whatever you want.
Yeah.
More creative games. Explore, I feel like. Yeah.
Collect, craft.
Yeah. even like my, I think my, as a big like Zelda fan, well, we're both big Zelda fans, but for myself, like my favorite ones, obviously there's the two open capital O open world games, but even before that, my favorite games in the series have not what you'd think of as like an open world structure, but it's like non-linear. You know, you can do a lot of the dungeons in whatever order you want. You know, you can like explore this big world and find all these mini games like fishing and whatnot. And so I think I've always liked that sort of thing. But yeah, obviously, depending on the genre, you know, I think I'll stick with the open world, but it's a tough question.
Okay. Well, then how about bespoke dungeons or open inventories? Okay. So what I mean by that is like that classic Zelda formula where I get the boomerang in this dungeon and that is the item I'm going to need to defeat this boss. Or like the Breath of the Wild, Tears of the Kingdom style, where you may discover at a different time with or without a certain item. And so you're using your chosen preferred mechanics that will help. Like, do you like that kind of more linear, it's picked for you, or play how you want type of approach?
What do you think?
It typically depends on how the dungeon is designed, but I like historically with Zelda, I think that there's more where you get like a specific item and the dungeon is designed around that. Mm-hmm. And it makes like for that. Some fun puzzles. Yeah.
Yeah. But even with the boss, you think too?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I like a puzzly boss.
Yeah, I don't know, that's actually one thing where in the Zelda series, for me, I feel like a lot of the combat isn't always the strongest suit, like part of it for me. It's not really what I'm coming to it for. Mm-hmm. I think even for me, it's a different reason than you, but I think it's similar, like that's not your priority.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually do kind of like the idea of pardon me, having bosses that I think you could have it both ways almost, where it's like, and there certainly are some in the recent games where the bosses have specific weaknesses you can exploit, but like also you can fight them however you want, and I think that's more interesting to me than just knowing the specific set of instructions they want you to follow, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. So then, I guess a different way I could have asked that would be like, no, I guess it's the same. I mean, I can try and take a slant at more of making you choose between Breath of the Wild versus like Majora's Mask, like the classic Zelda, or the modern Zelda, you know, just making you pick between the two. How about equipment? Like, you know, would you rather have that set static equipment or the uniquely randomized and, you know, durability incentive?
Ooh, I kind of liked the durability stuff, but I think it. I actually had the opposite problem as a lot of people are like, oh, I get this cool item and then it breaks and I don't have it anymore. But for me, it was actually that like I always had way too many items. Like I'd open up a chest and there'd be like a royal claymore, and I'm like, well, I have 5 of these. Mm-hmm. And it actually made it feel a little less special to get these cool items. So I actually think they should stick with this, but maybe they could rework it, like make certain items more exclusive, and maybe you get more of like these other types, but they, you know, maybe they're a bit more breakable while the other ones aren't. I don't know. That was my problem with it more, was that like the items, it like they kind of lost that, like you didn't have that like, whoa, I got this after like, you know, halfway through the game or something. You're like, all right, I feel like I've seen all the items. But yeah.
I like the equipment and armor system in Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom. I don't know. I like just being able to equip whatever depending on the situation.
Yeah, that's what I liked about it specifically, was the situational aspect of it. Because, like, it wasn't as much of a focus in the previous games. It was more of the plot. Like, you know, at what point do you get the Master Sword? Okay, this is the strongest sword. It's going to help me kill some of the weaker enemies faster. But really, the bosses are all, like, paced and designed to be the same challenge, regardless of what that is. You get those at key story points. But the, like, having that durability, it's like, oh, well, you know what? I'm just exploring. I've got a couple strong weapons. I don't want to like break those, so I'll use something maybe slightly weaker or something that I'm just stumbling across, you know, and then playing that way like helps you maybe find a different play style than you're used to, or like learn to be a little bit more defensive than just like all like 100% of offensive, or using your items as well. Like it kind of like made you just kind of react and think on your toes, and then also just not be married to like any one item. Like, hey, if it's gone, it's gone, dang it. But you know what? I'll be able to find something to replace it, or I'll be able to make it through no matter what. It just, I think, helped to make you, it gave combat some variety. Like, I think to your point earlier, like they can maybe refine it a little bit. Maybe there's some like key or static items that are like always just kind of vanilla in there. And then maybe like unique modifiers or specialty enhancements and things like that can wear or fade or break or something. But I like just kind of, you know, you could play the game 2 or 3 different times, but be in like a completely unique situation just because of what your equipment is in that moment without, you know, knowing it.
Yeah, I actually liked when they added in Tears of the Kingdom, like where you could fuse things to it and make like different weapons. I always got a kick out of like, oh, I just got this cool like sword thing. But like, what'll happen if I attach this to it? And that, I think that made it work a little bit better, because I found less in that game, like finding like, it felt more like I was finding the base for something cool that I was creating, as opposed to like, oh, I found like the 10th version of this item, whatever, you know. It maintained, like, even though I probably made like the same sword over and over, it like still had that like fun factor of like creation and discovery, like mixing the ingredients to make a cool sword.
Yeah. Cool. Last one, 2D or 3D?
Oh, that's a whole thing. It's all 2D for me. Yeah, big time.
Maybe 3D for me.
I spent all the time like I was defending Breath of the Wild, but I still do prefer like the classic Zelda games over the 3D ones. Yeah.
Cool. Okay, that was it. You made it through the this or that gauntlet. Icebreaker time. We're still going to do this. While I don't condone throwing controllers, do you have a memorable controller throwing moment in your gaming past?
Ooh.
Has there been a game or an event or a something that has caused you to throw a controller?
I don't have you.
You accused me of throwing it.
Oh yeah.
I didn't really throw it. I just didn't have a grip on it and wasn't prepared for a quick time event. So it kind of just came, you know, it didn't go far, just like a few inches.
I was playing. It didn't even hurt. It really didn't even touch me that much, but I just wanted to make a big deal out of it. Yeah. That's some motion control stuff. That's probably the most I've ever my water splashed out here.
So wait, that was not a sound effect. That was water really making that sound.
Did I do sound effects for a living movies? I think that was really good.
Man, I'm gonna try and crop that just by itself and see if I can use that as like, you know, when I have to jump cut or edit to something, just a doop. That's a.
I got too animated acting out the motion controls that I did it myself. But that's the only time I think I've really thrown a controller is like doing a motion control thing. I don't think maybe when I was younger, I can't even remember my temperament from when I was a kid. But I get really pissed off at games, like even games I love. They just make me so angry when I can't do the challenge. And then I do the challenge and I feel like a king, even though it's probably like not that hard. But I do a lot that like I'll be holding my Switch or whatever and I'll like die and I'll just sort of thing.
That's a rough system to play.
Like, I have this hand, you know, like I want to crush the
vice grip where any movement can snap it in half either way.
Yeah, really any, like I'll get that mad, like sort of mad where I'm like, but I've never thrown a controller. I don't think. Have you seen that? I don't think I've thrown.
Controllers are expensive these days as well. I mean, back in the day, I would have random third-party controllers for my Nintendo 64 or something, and maybe I wouldn't be too sad if one of them was thrown. I never threw them, but I think, you know, I've played with people who are definitely, you know, chuckers. So, I don't condone it.
If I were ever in that situation, it was more so when I was younger, where that would happen. It would just be like bad vibes, and I'd be like, I don't think I want to play with this person anymore. Yeah. You know, so I try not to like get, I don't think I really get angry in multiplayer situations. The most I get angry at a game is when it's like challenging me. But I try to try to keep the mood light with multiplayer, even if it's like somewhat competitive. But yeah, I don't think I would.
I think I've had, I remember my best friend's younger brother. I think there was a controller throwing incident that did completely stop our gameplay session. We were playing one of the 64 wrestling games, and it was just a brutal like match one-on-one, and it just did not go his way. So it ended up just being like throwing the controller, and I think it even hit the system. And so then we were all like realized like, no, that's serious. Like if that would have damaged that and like broke that, like that would have impacted all of us. Like, we're going to take this time now to maybe step away and we'll just turn off the system. We'll all step away. Let cooler heads prevail here. And it was just a moment. I thought that was, but it's funny. It's those Nintendo 64 wrestling games. They can get the best of people sometimes.
I do get mad at those because whenever I have friends who are really good at those and I'm not, when I play them, they just own me, and it makes me so mad because I'm like, I can't figure out what to do. Stop suplexing me.
All right. Well, icebreaker complete. Insert sound effect here. Whoop.
Or just do it.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to have to edit us out doing it and just use it, hopefully. But yeah. All right. The main question then for the day. Do you have a favorite genre? So, like a genre of games, you know, what's that style of game that you love? Do you have one? And if so, what was the first game that maybe exposed you to it? And what are some like essential games you love, like from that genre? So this is kind of a role, kind of open-ended, more personal, you know, tell us your story type of question. But yeah, do you have a favorite genre?
Do I know what you're going to say? What are you going to say?
Celeste likes.
Well, yeah.
I think I'm going to go with like open world sandbox games.
Okay.
I'm not really sure what first drew me to it, or if I even like realized that's what I liked about it, but Breath of the Wild definitely gets into this. It's like the most sandboxy Zelda game, and it kind of adds in more like survival and crafting elements that I've found I really enjoy. I've been playing a lot of Minecraft too, which very different game, but it has a lot of things that fill that.
Yeah, things that have like recipes, I feel like. Not just food, but you know, like crafting recipes. Yeah. Like you get really into like
I like gathering things and crafting things with those, yeah, materials. And love Terraria. Played a lot of Core Keeper.
Mm-hmm.
The mining is good too. that fits under like the gathering material. Yeah, I don't know. I just like to gather resources. You know, run around in the world, explore, gather resources, and make use of them.
Yeah, McKenna will always be showing me like, oh, they added. We have a Minecraft like realm we play. I don't play it so much because it's like a different. Like I'm bad at the creative part of this, but when they like announce new things, like McKenna in particular, and other people in our group like are showing like, oh, and you can build this and this and this, and like McKenna will you'll go off on like a mission on your own to like find this stuff and like make these unique creations and stuff. And for me, I'm like, I can dig a hole for you if you need. Like, you know, it's like I have fun playing them with friends, but yeah, that's I'm like the opposite. Like that's a genre I love Breath of the Wild, but like the ones that lean more into like just open ended, do whatever, you know, maybe there's something you can do. I don't do that as much, but you thrive in those.
Mm-hmm. They're good worlds to hang out in. Yeah.
A good resource gathering situation. Like I'm a big fan of that. Like I'll always want to know if there's like a limit to it. And like, if so, like, okay, well I know I'm just in the first 10 minutes of this game, but sure. Let me have 99 logs. Like what will that do for me? Is that going to be okay later? And like just figuring out like, it's just, there's like a completionist side of things where it's like, well, let me make sure I have as much of this as I can possibly so that in case I need it. And of course you do, cause that's the whole purpose of those games. Like a good crafting or a good resource management style mechanic in a game, I'm always like wanting to make sure I top off whatever it is that you can possibly do or anything. Even like, growing up playing like the Harvest Moon games, like one of my first goals would always be to like clear the farm. Like, okay, I got rid of all the rocks, all the weeds, all the logs that are within it. Like I want to make sure I clear all that out, but I want to make sure I have some of those rocks and things available to me. So let me organize them in a really nice design over here on the far side in case I need them. But you never did. You'd always just break them down and everything and just use them to upgrade tools or something. But yeah, there's just something, there's like an itch I always get with those things too. They're casual enough that you can usually kind of play without much stress, but usually, you know, it's a part of like a bigger picture of a game that you can just sink hours into and everything. And I've been late to work many times because of like Stardew Valley. When I was like at my peak, like maximum insane mode for Stardew Valley, it was like, all right, I'll do one more day and then I'll go to work. And it was like, you know, I just got enough things done, or I was one step closer to something else happening. I'm like, all right, cool. Let me just see this through real quick. I can probably squeeze in one more day. And if I just immediately drive, like I have my stuff ready by the door. Yeah. I can squeeze one more day in. And you know, I was like late so consistently that you know, managers pulled me into the office to tell me, and it was like, what's the reason? And they didn't know it was Stardew Valley, but it was like, hey, Matt, I slipped pretty far. Like, you know, I'm gonna start setting an alarm earlier. Like, I got this, like, you know, don't worry about it. It won't be a problem anymore. And yeah, all Stardew.
Yeah. That's like the other, I mean,
yeah,
it's kind of
I think a lot of life sims also scratch that same itch for me.
Yeah. When they do the directs where people are like, there's too many farming sims. I'm like, no, you should see what she's got going on. Like, there's not enough to satiate. Oh,
you don't even know.
I think that's just people. It's just there are all types like of gamers now. And some people like that's like what they mainly gravitate towards. So like, of course there's going to be a lot of them. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not like a series anymore. It isn't Harvest Moon and that's it. Like, that's what it was for me growing up. But then that grew into, like, now it's a genre. Like, now there are multiple, like, styles and, like, deviations from that branch that, like, lean into all those different elements and bring something new to it. And, like, yeah, if you could be somebody who discovered and got into games just because of a game like that, and now there's such a spread available to you on what you can play next that you could only live in that world and probably never run out of games to play because of like the attraction and like that base mechanics that those have that they are like built on. People love them. People love them and they sell. You got to have that cow. You got to milk that cow. And you got to get that gold.
Certainly. Like, I think like any genre, there are some where it's like, okay, this didn't need to exist, but I mean, I feel like every genre has that. Like, how many Overwatch clones didn't need to exist or whatever?
They're called hero shooters now because, yeah, everybody has to do one and have their version of it. And yeah.
Yeah.
But speaking of that, Marvel Rivals is out, though. Not the whole genre. I mean, of course, Marvel Rivals is still good, and then Overwatch 2 is still good. And of course, the other ones. No, I'm just kidding. But there's too many.
I have no idea. Like, I'm kind of talking out of my ass a little bit. Like, I don't even, like, I hear about them and it's just never been a genre. It's like the opposite of me. Like, what genre has evaded you? That would be mine.
I feel like I dabble into everything. Like, I do have Marvel Rivals downloaded because I did enjoy Overwatch quite a bit back in the day. And, I played that and I found some joy in that and everything. But also at the same time, I'm trying to finish Fantasian, like, you know, an RPG, a classically designed RPG, you know, that was re-released. And then like I just have all these genres, like, I think always constantly spinning in my brain that I want to dabble in and everything. So I think it's part of also a problem, because if I had such a more of a narrow focus, like, maybe I could play more or enjoy more, but instead I'm so willing to like enjoy a lot of these things that like I'm just kind of stuck playing nothing because I want to play everything.
I think we can both relate to that. Yeah. But that's one nice thing about our show, Flashback, is we kind of, even though it's, you know, from a specific time period, like, we do kind of force ourselves to like just try something different, random every month, you know? So it's good to like get yourself out of your comfort zone, you know?
Mm-hmm. When else are you going to play Wayne Gretzky's 3D hockey? You know, I mean, if not now, when?
And discover you love it. You know, I love that game now.
Okay. Well then what's your genre then, Goo?
Yeah.
What would you say?
I feel like every question I get, I always preface like with like, well, so I'm a Zelda fan. it's just like, need people to know that. But yeah, I think, well, actually, that's something that I feel like more in recent years. It's not a full-fledged genre, but you will get a lot of comparisons to Zelda with a lot of games now. Like, there's like games like Tunic and stuff that are clearly influenced by it, or Blossom Tales or whatever. But to stick to its like traditional genre, like, that is kind of like the just action adventure type games. I know that's very broad now. They like, they've all spawned their own. You know, you've got like your Metroidvanias are action adventure, like a lot of game based subgenres. Even Souls likes, like, those are action adventure games. But I generally like that sort of game where you're like running around. It could be 2D, 3D like game, but where it's like vaguely, you know, like a world you're running around exploring different parts of, and, you know, maybe doing quests. I definitely more in like the adventure category. Like, I haven't gotten into as many like RPGs in my life, though. That's like a genre that's evaded me, that I've been trying to knock off some of the ones I miss. But overall, I like anything like Zelda or Metroid or whatever games like that, where you're like little guy running around.
Do you remember what the first game like that you played was?
Oh yeah. It was the original Legend of Zelda, actually. Mm. And that was a game. I mean, when I played it, when I was probably like 4 years old or something. And like and A Link to the Past, I played around the same time, 'cause my grandpa had them both. He was kind of into Zelda early on. And, those games I would just like run around in like the overworld and like, you know, find a fairy fountain, like fight some enemies, die. Like, mm-hmm. I don't think I even completed a dungeon, you know what I mean? So, but like, it stuck with me, and then he got me more as time went on. And I think the first one that I actually like beat was Link's Awakening, because I had it on my Game Boy. And definitely that solidified like a lot of the genre and stuff in my mind, because it was like cool. It was like this little world that you carried around and explore and find secrets and stuff. And yeah, it was just like fun to like, as a kid, you know, you just kind of like imagine, you know, being in that world. And it really kind of you know, transported me to another realm. So I always get into games like that, like go and, you know, look around in caves and see what's going on.
That's cool. Yeah, I would you mentioned Metroidvania. Like, I think like the Japanese like developed and inspired like that tangent, like the Final Fantasy tangent of the role-playing genre. Like, that's probably my favorite type of game. As a kid, like, those are the ones that like, to me, it gave me like value. Like, I'm like, okay, I could put in like a fighting game. I could play Street Fighter and play a few fights against some friends, whatever, like play through the arcade mode and, you know, beat 10 guys and be done with it. And like, that was kind of it. But when I had an RPG, it was like, oh, cool, I've got like 40, 50, maybe more like hours, where like this one singular story is going to like evolve and grow that entire time. And like, you were constantly getting stronger and like, you know, fitting into like, you know, what was happening around you. Like, to me, it was just like a value proposition, where I was like, well, if I'm going to play any game, like, I want it to be this game right now, because this will last a long time, because I don't know when I'm going to buy the next game or when, you know, that next chance will be. Mm-hmm. And everything. So that got me like into like, you know, it got its claws in me early on. As I grew up, I started playing like so many different types of genres and things. And, you know, like, that got me exposed to a lot of different things. So I think I played less and less RPGs, played more action games, played more, I mean, sports games, music, rhythm games, like everything. Like, I love so many different types of things. But now that I'm older, it was a couple of years back, but I played through and finished Persona 5, like their like re-release of it, Persona 5 Royale. And that was like my final save file was 130 hours. Like, I saw the final credits of the game. Like, I was like, wow. Oh my gosh, like, I haven't done this since I was 14. Like, this is like, what a feeling this is. And so I've been kind of chasing that since. And like, you know, Final Fantasy 16 and the Final Fantasy 7 remakes. There's like a re-release of the Star Ocean second story, Octopath Traveler 2, like so many like new and old, like nostalgically, you know, tinged RPGs. Like, I've played so much of in these last couple of years. Like, that's almost all I've been playing. Like, in between, I'm playing like some smaller like indie hits or like a retro game or something like that. But like, I'm just counting days in between like these giant RPGs. But yeah. Like, the in between years, it was like Metroidvanias were like my thing. Like, that was like, you know, and again, it was like this value idea. It wasn't just like the classic Castlevania where I had X number of stages that I was likely going to die on stage 3 and, you know, have to start all over again and like master its mechanics. It was like, mm-hmm. no, if this area is too tough, leave and like go a different direction and find an item that might make me stronger. So when I go back there, you know, I can, you know, now finish through that and find a whole new branch of this castle to explore and everything. And like that, another thing that just made me love it. And then, in like the Xbox 360 and PS3 era, the Wii was also present. Like indie games and like downloadable games like started to become like a really popular thing. Yeah. And so like that caused that whole genre to come back, like Shadow Complex, Guacamelee, like all these like really cool, like digestible, like Metroidvania, like inspired games. Like I fell in love with those games. And so like those two genres, I think like if it's a toss up, I mean, it's probably the RPGs that are my number one, but like a good Metroidvania will always like get my attention too. But yeah, so I've then a question for you both then. These don't have to be like your absolute favorites of your said genres or anything, but if you were to make like a Mount Rushmore of like three or four games that you feel represent essentially like the best of a lot of the mechanics or a lot of the vibes that these genres give you, what is the Mount Rushmore of these games that you, or what are the games you'd put on your Mount Rushmore to represent this genre of choice?
Ooh. Do you have one?
Yeah, don't handcuff yourself to like it has to be the best or it has to be your favorite. Like if it is, you know, if you overlook something, you know, you can chisel it down later and resurface the rocks. But you know, just in, you know, going with your gut, what do you think would be some?
I've got mine.
I feel like I've already listed some of the Minecraft ones I'd put on there. Yeah, Minecraft, Terraria, Breath of the Wild. Maybe Stardew as well.
You got to put that there for sure.
Yeah, that's a good mix. Okay, yeah. So now, which one's George Washington? Which one's Lincoln? No, I'm just kidding. Oh, man. Okay. No, that's a good choice. That's a good spread. I think that represents that. You think you're playing something casual, but you've just found a way to mainline digital heroin instead, and you're stuck. Like those are great games. What's the action adventure Rushmore then for you, Goo?
This is tough because it's such a broad genre. You know what I mean? Like it could apply to. But
I want to help you with this answer too. So not to like put too much pressure, but the ones you don't name, you're essentially shooting them in the back of the head and killing them and saying you don't love them. Go ahead and pick four, and then you know, remember the rest are going to die and starve somewhere in the cold.
Okay, well, I think I'm pretty basic when it comes to games. Like that's one thing I've become self-conscious about, like meeting all these people, especially with Blue Sky and meeting a ton of people who know so much about games, and I'm like, I like Metroid, you know, like everyone like says that. But I think I'll say, because I think the genres I mentioned kind of define, they all are similar and they kind of like share connective tissue that I like about them. I don't even view them as separate as other people, but so I'll say Zelda. Let's just say
Zelda 1. I'll just say, like, I mean, you're picking a game here. Okay. You're not picking all of the Zeldas. You're picking Zelda.
Ooh. I'll say Zelda 1 to represent the series. Okay. then I'll say, this is I'll do Metroid Prime.
Mm.
I've only beaten like three Metroid games, but they share such a similar structure to Zelda. Mm-hmm. And I love them. So I'll say Metroid Prime. And again, these are all basic, but then I'll say Symphony of the Night. To get your Vania in there.
Good choice.
And it's an amazing game. And then again, most basic pick of all time, but I'm going to put Dark Souls on there.
Mm.
And that's those Symphony and Dark Souls have some RPG elements in there too. But I think of those as
stat like, growth that you have like conscious player choice over. So like you can define the role you want to be in within those moments. And if you're defining a role and playing that is a role-playing game. So there you go. You know,
the way I play it is not too dissimilar from how I play like Zelda or something. You know, like I'm mainly just like hitting guys with my sword.
So I've not played, I was going to say I've not played a Souls game, but I've played Demons, Demon apostrophe S Souls, Demons Souls.
It's their Souls. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've only played like two Souls games too, but I do love Dark Souls. So
yeah, I played the Demon Souls and a little bit of Bloodborne, but I've never played any of the Dark Souls. I haven't played Elden Ring. I haven't played, you know, other jazz. People love them. I also don't want to feel like less of a human because I can't beat like the second boss in a game. And like, so like I play some of those and it's good because when you overcome that challenge, it's just that much more rewarding, but it can be intimidating sometimes. So like I've had to like steer away from them a little bit because they make me feel bad. But
yeah, you know. I would recommend, because I think I'm kind of a scrub when it comes to game, but I think Dark Souls is actually a pretty approachable game. Like I can fight a lot of the enemies and bosses in the game. Not all of them, but a lot of them. Like I fight enemies in Ocarina of Time, and which people like the combat in that is very, it's more basic and people don't really speak too highly of it, but like you can use similar tactics. I'm speaking as a Zelda fan again, and you can get by pretty, like, it's pretty approachable. I feel like it's some of the other games that are, like, it depends on how you play it, too, but some, they get crazy fast-paced, and I think Bloodborne is one that I haven't played it, but I've seen the gameplay of that is, like, hectic, whereas I feel like Dark Souls is a little bit more. You can kind of treat it like an RPG a little bit. Like, a lot of the enemies are really slow, and you can kind of maneuver around them and stab them in the back and stuff.
The one I've played the most, actually, is Bloodborne. And, you know, I got maybe halfway through it or so. So if I get a little bit more defensive opportunities and pacing, yeah, maybe those are. I did watch. So also because of the awesome community that is Blue Sky, VG Cartography, they have an account on there, but they have a YouTube channel and they've done a bunch of videos on like all the Souls games, like an illustrated map summary. And so like all the videos like go through like these cool drawn maps that they've done and but go through the plot. Like you start here and you navigate here and you fight this and you this. So like while I haven't played the games, I did watch these 20 and 30 minute videos of like the maps and the exposition of that all, that it makes me feel like I've been able to experience the games. So huge recommendation if you have not checked those out yourself. But yeah, VG Cartography on YouTube, and that's their Blue Sky handle too. They've been cool. Cool. Well then that's the episode. We did it.
Nice.
Mission complete. They both went a little bit longer than I was expecting, which is not a bad thing. My goal is always 20 minutes, but we did it in 35 and 41 minutes. So
not too bad.
Water drop sound effect here. Boop.
I couldn't even recreate that if I tried. I'm trying.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why I gotta crop that. I gotta make sure that that's permanent. But yeah, that's all I got, y'all. Again, links will be in the show notes for the Flashback 64 podcast, their Patreon. Definitely give them a follow on Blue Sky. That's the only endorsed social media platform I have to endorse. All the others have deleted and excavated from.
I'm over them all.
Anything y'all want to say before we wrap it up then?
No, I mean, thanks for having us back. It's always fun. Yeah. I love the show. It's a fun time.
Yeah, thank you. Well, then I will see you all on your show then in a couple of weeks and on the internet. All right, y'all. Have a good one.